T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome on in. Yes, it is the Midday Show. Sports Radio 94 WIP. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, Kyle Quinn behind the glass. You guys with us, 215-592-9494. What a lot going on here in Philadelphia on the eve of the 2024 NFL Draft. Tough night for the Phils last night. They were due for one. And, of course, we get ready and more fallout from the nonsense up in New York a couple nights ago with the Sixers down 0-2. Good morning, Hugh.
Good morning, Joe. Good morning, Philadelphia. You know, it's all right to listen sometimes. Just sit back and just listen to what folks have to say. Just pay attention. That's it.
I'm listening.
Yeah. I ain't got nothing
to
say.
Okay. I was just following your lead.
Sit back
there
and listen sometimes.
Sit back and listen to some wisdom. All right. Well, you know what? I think everyone should take Hugh's advice and listen to me on this. And hopefully the Philadelphia Eagles are listening to this one. Because I saw something this morning, and I got to tell you, this is insanity. This is insanity. Dan Graziano, ESPN, they do a column, right, where all these insiders say, well, like the last-minute things they're hearing about the NFL draft. And we got a lot of draft rumors around the Eagles. A lot of people think they're going to trade up from 22, which that part I'm good with. Go ahead. Howie's not great at picking in the early 20s. Trade up. Cool with that, Hugh. But here is where I am not cool. This is from ESPN this morning. Quote, people I've talked to believe the Eagles want to try to move up for a wide receiver.
Hey!
And one theory that Graziano found very interesting is, and potentially hilarious, is they could move up for Georgia tight end Brock Bowers. All right. Well, Hugh, I know you're a Bowers guy, and I think Bowers will be a tremendous player. But the idea of the Eagles moving up for, I'll just call it a pass catcher, right? A wide receiver or a tight end in the round is insane. Are we building a fantasy football team?
No, we're building a Super Bowl caliber football team.
Well, okay. Well, that I'm glad you said that, because on a Super Bowl caliber team, you need a solid offensive line. You need a defense that could stop somebody. The Eagles have plenty of weapons, and I understand that they could use a second tight end down the line in this draft. I'm okay with drafting a wide receiver on day 2, day 3 to put in the slot. That's all good. But if the Eagles use their first round pick tomorrow night on a wide receiver or a tight end, it is not just crazy, it is insanity. I would be beside myself if they take a receiver at 22. I just think it's crazy. They need to build their trenches. They need to build their defense. They need to fix the areas of this team, short-term, long-term, that are a problem. They just paid two receivers, $25 million a year.
25 of them things.
They have a running back who was once the second pick in the draft. They gave him 13. They have a $250 million quarterback. I feel like everyone is playing a practical joke on me just to see how angry I could get. Maybe the Eagles are included in this tomorrow night. What are we doing here? Hugh, I would obviously be upset if the Eagles take a receiver tomorrow night. Would you?
No, not at all. And I'll tell you why. Because it plays into exactly what I've been saying all this time, Joe. Defense is a luxury, not a necessity. And if you're going to go out, you already have your quarterback. It was something that I sent you a few weeks ago, and it's obvious that you didn't listen to it.
I did listen.
You didn't listen to it.
I listened, and I threw my phone across the room.
Hall of Fame D tackle, Warren Sapp said, a defender, just like I was when I played in the league, said that defenses are not a necessity anymore. You go out, you pay your quarterback $100 million, you go out and your $100 million quarterback has to go out and win football games for you. We have a $250 million quarterback. And if you go out and you get a receiver, then guess what that's telling me? That you feel that you have the guy that's going to get you over the hump. Oh, yeah, and by the way, in his short time that he's been in the NFL, he's already been to the Super Bowl. So what do? You go out and get him some more weapons. That's what you do, Joe. You go out and get a receiver. You go out and get a guy like Brock Bowers. And you have him help your quarterback out so we can get to the promised land. That's what the league is about nowadays. It's about championships won by your quarterback.
Well, yes, I agree with that. The quarterback's got to play a big role. And I understand the point of giving him help, but they've given him enough. He has more. Jalen Hurts has more than enough help on the offense to score points. A lot of them. He has two top, 15 receivers in the league, however you want to rank Devontae Smith. He's a very good player. I don't know if he's a top 10 receiver, but he's close. They paid him. They still have a tight end people believe in Dallas Goedert. But you know what else would help Jalen Hurts you? An offensive lineman to make sure that it's sturdy in front of him.
Not a sexy pick.
I know it's not a – I'm not looking for a sexy pick. I'm looking for a championship pick. Or, I don't know, and again, sometimes I forget, am I actually in Philadelphia or am I just reading the signs wrong when I'm living and driving around here? This is not Philadelphia anymore. How about a defense? Hugh, you mentioned the Super Bowl a couple years ago, and Jalen played very well that year. He did get to that Super Bowl with Quez Watkins and Zach Pascal as his third receiver. He didn't need a great third receiver. You know what he had that year? He had a defense that had 70 sacks, and they took the football away.
And I can argue with you that the reason why he made it there was because of his ability to keep defenses guessing and their ability to put up a lot of points. They put up, if I'm not mistaken, they were on average like 28, 30 points that year, right?
They were, yeah.
They were averaging like that, right? So now we have a young quarterback in that situation that one can argue that if Jalen Hurts was on par with Patrick Mahomes in that game, at least one mistake that he made when he had that turnover. At least one mistake, Joe. Now we have a quarterback who's got a little bit more seasoning on him, got a lot more weapons, has better weapons, and we're going to go out and get him another weapon. I'm okay with that. I am okay with that.
28.1 points. Yeah, your memory was right. 28.1 points per game, third in the NFL the year they made the Super Bowl. Look, I understand the importance of offense, but we've done this already. Like, they entered free agency, and instantly they went after a running back. I feel like this box has been checked. They added another weapon. They paid Devontae Smith. I think this is nuts. I just think it's insane. 215-592-9494. Hugh would like it. I would be upset. I mean, if the Eagles take a receiver tomorrow night, Dan Graziani, ESPN here, and the Eagles might trade up for a wide receiver or Brock Bowers. And the Brock Bowers thing does pull at me a little bit because I think he's going to be a tremendous NFL player. I'm just tremendous. He reminds me of George Kittle. I think he could be a great player. But I look at the other side of the football and I say, yeah, all right. Let's say they do it. Let's play this out for a second. Let's say the Eagles trade up to, 19 and draft Brian Thomas out of LSU. Does that make the offense better? Sure. Let's say they trade up to 16 and get Brock Bowers. Does it make the offense better? Yes. But what if they can't stop anybody?
Yeah, but what if they're scoring 30 or 40 points a game and the other team can't keep pace because they are? Because everybody's not. I look at it like this, Joe. Everybody is not going to match up well with you in this situation because the NFL is all about matchups. So if I go out there, say, with a lineup of A.J. Brown, Skinny Batman, Dallas Goedert, Saquon Barkley, and say Brock Bowers, you don't have enough people on your squad. Ain't a team in the NFL right now, before the draft, has enough guys that can cover everybody. Nobody has that kind of personnel in the NFL. Nobody. That puts you at an advantage right there by itself. You're not going to be able to bracket anybody. You're not going to be able to double team anybody because if you go two tight end sets with a running back there, you're gonna be in a situation where everybody's going to have to man up. You're not going to be able to play zone that great. And if you do play zone, you're going to probably get picked apart because you got Saquon Barkley back there. So, yeah, pick your poison. That's a hard team to defend.
I agree it would be a hard team to defend. It also would be an easy team to score. And can I just read everybody? I'm just going to list these names. This is the current Eagles depth chart on defense, okay? Milton Williams, Jordan Davis, Jalen Carter on the defensive line. Bryce Huff, N'Kobe Dean, Devin White, and Nolan Smith at linebacker.
I'm okay with playing with them guys.
James Bradbury, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, Reed Blankenship, and Darius Slay at corner. Of those 11 names, how many do we feel good about here? I mean, let's be real. We feel good about Jalen Carter? Yes. Okay. We feel good about Bryce Huff? Yeah. I mean, they gave him a lot of money, and I think he could play. That's two. Chauncey Gardner-Johnson's 3. Slay 4. That I got 4 names I feel really good about on that defense. And I like Blankenship as a, you know, a second safety. So maybe like 4.5 names I feel good about. The rest are just questions. I mean, major question marks on the defense. This isn't a fantasy football team. I'm afraid everyone around here thinks that. Let's hear Daniel Jeremiah. He's also thinking that maybe the Eagles could move up somewhere in this draft to get a wide receiver.
To me, I just think when I look down what I have, corner, you start there. The one that's kind of – that's a little bit sneaky is that I do think they need one more receiver, which sounds like almost gluttonous. But I do think you'll see them add a receiver here, you know, in the relatively early portion of this draft to give them that third guy.
Guess what Brock Bowers is? Receiver.
He's basically a receiver.
He's basically a receiver.
He will.
Yeah. I'm okay with that. I'm okay with adding as many weapons around Jalen Hurts as we possibly can and giving this young man a chance to get back to the Super Bowl.
I just think we're missing it. Like when the Eagles won the Super Bowl in 2017, their receivers were Alshon Jeffrey and Torrey Smith. Last year when the Chiefs won the Super Bowl, their receivers were Rashee Rice. That was their best receiver, a kid that kind of came along during the season. Why do we need another wide receiver? I'm like, did everyone vote on my day off to do this to me one day just to say, like, you kind of planted this rumor out there and then everyone decided they would yell at me about we need another receiver? I think you guys did just to see how riled up I could get. Well, if the Eagles play along with your joke, I'm going to get really riled up on Friday morning. 215-592-9494. I think Daniel Jeremiah used the perfect word there. It's gluttonous.
Ain't nothing wrong with that, but you
can see it. Yeah, something wrong with being a glutton.
Defense is a luxury, not a necessity, Joe.
No,
a necessity.
No, it is a necessity. I disagree. You and Warren Sapp don't know defense like I do. I mean, this is a total...
That might be true.
Nah, it's not a luxury. All right, Kyle, I already think I know, but what do you think?
You do know.
Would you be upset if the Eagles draft a wide receiver and
not
one?
I would even go as far as to say I would be extremely happy if the Eagles took a wide receiver in round one. I'm going to take some logic that I've been hearing for a long time here about offensive linemen and Lane Johnson's age. And crumble it and throw it right back in your face and twist it in my direction here. I'm looking at Lane Johnson's age in a similar way as I'm looking at A.J. Brown's contract and the last couple years of that deal. He does not have an extension yet. He could be gone in a couple years. So this whole idea of getting a guy that could come in and learn behind Lane Johnson, maybe slide in at guard, but more than likely be a backup on the offensive line in year one, how about you get a guy that's actually going to be on the field? Number 3 wide receiver. He can be behind Devontae and AJ. He's cost controlled for a couple years. If things don't work out with AJ, then you have another guy. You have Devontae, who's now extended, and you have this wide receiver. I just think there's no such thing as gluttony when it comes to offense. There's no such thing as overkill. I'll also add this. I think we should all just accept the fact that this is not going to be a great defense next year. It's not going to be a defense that carries you to winning games, winning Super Bowls.
I don't know if they're going to be
decent. Like, I'll tell you another thing. Adding one guy in the first round, a corner, is not going to make that enough of an impact for it to take it to the next level. I think defense, by nature, you need to have them working as like a unit for them to be great. You need to have a great defensive unit for them to be something that carries you. One offensive weapon can literally walk into the end zone and score you 6 points on their own. I just think the nature of the wide receiver position, the nature of having a weapon on offense, is more impactful than any guy that you could get on the defensive line. I am all in on taking a wide receiver in the first round.
So listen, I understand the point of contingency plans, and you make a fair point, right, that you can almost look at it as the replacement down the line at the wide receiver position, the way we're looking at offensive line down the line, you know, as a spot that someone could replace Lane Johnson. But here's part of the logic of offensive line. Like defense, I mean, I could scream about defense all day. I mean, Hugh doesn't believe in it, even though this guy played defense in the NFL. Doesn't believe in it more. But the offensive line aspect is, right? There's a chance if they take a tackle, he plays guard. You know how many snaps Landon Dickerson had last year? 1,000. You know how many targets that Quez Watkins had last year? Let me make sure I got this right. Last year, Quez Watkins was targeted 21 times. They played 17 games. And they also now added Saquon, who's, you know, I think, going to get more targets probably than their running backs got last year. Let's say they get a receiver or Brock Bowers in round one. How many times are they going to throw this guy the ball over the full season?
He's a threat, though, Joe.
He's a threat, but we're drafting decoys in round one?
We've already established the fact that during this, like, even if we don't take a receiver, which we probably will, that there's going to be times where there's going to be people in this offense that probably won't see the rock. I mean, that's just a fact.
I know.
And you're going to have to – that's why every time you touch the rock is going to be more meaningful. But at the end of the day, if my stats suffer just a little bit and I'm a world champion, am I concerned about that? Because I'm eating good in the city for the rest of my life. Like, that's what you want. Ain't that what you want?
Yeah, I want to win, and they need defense.
I mean, if we're winning games by 30 to 40 points a clip and we go to the Super Bowl, I'll take a hit as far as my stats are concerned. I'm not that petty.
Yeah,
I'm not that petty.
If this quarterback's as good as they think he is, then he has more than enough to succeed.
Can I put it to you this way, Joe? So do you agree at all that wide receiver in any capacity is a need for this team?
Yes, I would not mind if they took one if they keep both second round picks,
right,
or maybe the third or fourth round.
Well, so now I'm going to throw this back at you because you mentioned Quez Watkins, you mentioned Landon Dickerson. Quez Watkins was a wide receiver they got in the mid to late rounds.
Sixth, I think, yeah.
Stinks. Didn't work out.
Yep.
Landon Dickerson, an offensive lineman that they did not have to get in the first round. They got in the second round. The Eagles' best offensive weapons are first round picks. Devontae Smith, I mean, A.J. Brown, I guess, was a second-round pick.
So was Goddard.
Should have been a first-round pick. Goddard, second-round pick. But the Eagles have had more success drafting these weapons higher in the draft than they have in the later rounds.
Oh,
they've had more success taking O-linemen in the mid to later rounds. I just think there's a clear logic here that the Eagles can follow and sort of continue to do what they've been doing and having success in the draft.
Well, but there's also another element to this. The idea and this rumor that's out there is they're going to trade up for a wide receiver. That means surrendering extra picks. That means basically two picks for a wide receiver. You guys are on a different planet. If we're trading up, we got to trade up for a defensive player. Give me a star corner. Holy moly. All right, 215-592-9494. Mr. Offense, Hugh Douglas over here, banging the table saying, yeah, it'd be cool to draft a receiver, trade up for a receiver. Latest from ESPN this morning, I couldn't believe it when I read it, that the Eagles, some believe they could trade up for a wide receiver or even Brock Bowers. 215-592-9494. Would you be upset if the Eagles took a pass catcher in the first round and traded up for one? I would. If you're trading up, you better give me a prime defensive prospect. Let's go to the phone lines here. Chris in Middletown. What's up, Chris?
Happy hump day.
What's up, Chris? How are you?
I'm doing great. Joe, I got to talk to you here for a second.
Okay.
You are as wrong on this as Al's gas pumping story from yesterday.
Well, that's pretty – according to Hugh, then I'm really wrong.
Yeah, you're dead wrong. And speaking of Hugh, you should listen to Hugh because Hugh, you played in the NFL, okay? Hugh played defense in the NFL, so he definitely has a lot of information. When he says defense doesn't really matter, offense is more important, listen to me, and he's smart. Now, there's another guy that's going to come on after him. That guy, I don't know what the hell he's talking about. But, you know, he says he played defense too, but, you know, I don't believe him. Hugh's right on this. Hugh's 100% right. And I want to give a guarantee here. I guarantee you, Joe, the Eagles will not in the first round draft a defensive back. Not happening. We are loaded with young Thundercats, as Hugh says. We have Kylie Ringo. We have Pope. And we just got Rodgers reinstated. So there's no need to be moving around, burning draft picks on that. But what there is a need for, Joe, we need to go broke for Bowers. We need to get him
okay.
in here.
Go broke for Bowers, I hear him.
All the way. Let's go get him in here. Bring him in. That guy is phenomenal. Saying no to we don't need him. We don't need him. It's like saying no, we don't want Travis Kelce or we don't want George Kittle. He's not just a tight end. That guy is a stud receiver in a tight end position. And that is what we need. All right, guys. One message on the way out. I love the comedy show that's going down in the state of Texas. Dallas sucks.
Chris, it's the best, man. We appreciate it. Yeah, we will we'll have some audio for you coming up in a little bit about Jerry Jones, who really doesn't understand what the hell's going on down in Dallas, and the team is suffering because of it. Yeah, all right, so Chris is making a proclamation they won't draft defensive back, and they might not. I mean, the Eagles haven't taken one in the first round, obviously, in a very, very long time. Lito was decades ago. I don't know. I mean, I don't know what they're going to take. All I know is this. It better not be a wide receiver. This team, gluttonous is the word that was used by Daniel Jeremiah. I'll call it an embarrassment of riches, and that's okay. Like, I'm not saying it's bad to have a lot of good players on one side of the ball, but you need to have something on the other side of the ball. And Hugh, you know, I know your point is that if they score a lot of points, it won't matter. But if you're down in games, you can't. Like, I just think if they're down in games early because their defense stinks, it's going to take away the whole benefit of having Saquon Barkley. Control the clock, run the football. If you're down 14 points, you're not running. You got to throw the whole time.
Yeah, but I think that when you talk about this team and what they're going to be doing, it's going to be hard to keep them out of games if you even do. Like, game plans are going to they're going to blow through those. I remember we played the Greatest Show on Turf. Now, you talk about embarrassment of riches or gluttony of riches. That was considered that when they played because mm-hmm. they had weapons all over the place. And they had a quarterback in Kurt Warner that nobody knew about. He had played for the Iowa Barnstormers. Came in and played, 9 years in the NFL and went to the Hall of Fame. That could be Jalen Hurts, if you will. As good as our defense was, I remember going into that game in the NFC Championship game against against that team, the Rams, and we were up. And in the second half, when they came and they game plan, Marshall Faulk, all the only thing I saw in the second half of that game was the back of Marshall Faulk's jersey. That's what this team can potentially be because there are so many ways that they could beat you if we get Brock Bowers on this team. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about as good as your defense is, you're not going to have answers for everybody. Like, hell, I could coach this team if they had give me a tight end like Brock Bowers. That might be a little. I'd be a little over.
Well, we cut that audio because around week three, I might play that and say, let's get this guy out of here and put Hugh in. At least he's all in the office. 215-592-9494. I understand the idea of having a super souped-up offense. It'd be fun. But I don't think this is fantasy football, and I think they could score enough. You know, last year, we point to Jalen taking a step back. We point to the way that ended down in Tampa. But primarily, the offense wasn't the issue last year.
It wasn't.
The defense. They couldn't stop anyone.
But – the offense was an issue, but you could honestly say that offense at times, they just looked stagnant.
They did.
They looked
times,
stagnant.
But the defense looked bad.
But the defense looked bad because the offense was stagnant and they lacked creativity. I could make an argument, Joe, that if that offense was more creative and our number one receiver, A.J. Brown, wasn't on the back of the milk carton last year in the last seven games of the season – we would have had a different outcome.
Well, we probably
would have went deeper in the playoffs.
Probably. They probably could, if he played in the Tampa game, maybe they beat Tampa. And that's fine. But like, there's just no way the Eagles' defense from last year, even if Jalen was more efficient and they had another receiver, they just weren't winning a Super Bowl. Like, the 49ers came in here and punked them for 3 hours because they couldn't tackle and they couldn't cover. We need to fix that part of this team. Anthony is in Trenton. What's up, Anthony?
Hey, hold on. I'm taking off the speaker.
You got it, Anthony.
Hey, sorry, guys. You had to go on speaker.
All
hey,
good. What are you feeling on this?
Hugh, man, I got to tell you, offenses win games, defenses win championship. If you're locked down in the secondary, nobody's going to be able to go over the top on you. You're going to send everything underneath, and that's what you have linebackers for. And I'd like to believe that, you know, these new guys up front on the defensive line are going to come into their own. You know what I mean? Look, it may not be the first week. Hopefully, you know, week four, week five, they're doing their thing. But we really need to lock down our defense. You guys got guys arm tackling. I mean, come on.
It was embarrassing. Anthony, the defense last year was embarrassing.
Anthony, I appreciate you trying to remind me of something that I lived my whole life. I mean, I grew up with that mantra, as a matter of fact.
Hugh,
but Anthony, may I please be allowed to speak?
Absolutely.
I allowed you to speak. But here's the reality of this situation, Anthony. That's the old NFL. That's the old adage of the NFL. The NFL is now catered to offenses scoring a lot more points, and defenders don't matter. I remember back in the day, you know how much I used to live that? I remember back in the day where defenders, the only two people that didn't come off the field for the most part were the offensive lineman and the defensive lineman. But the game has changed so much that the pass rushers are two platoon guys now. Like, they go in waves because they want to keep guys fresh because they want to be able to get to the quarterback. So that's how much the game has changed. It's changed so much that the offensive players, they get all the accolades. You know, when you talk about as good as that defense was last year for the Kansas City Chiefs that got them to the Super Bowl, what does everybody talk about?
Yeah,
the quarterback and the defense
carried them
no,
there.
No, but what I'm trying to tell you is this. The quarterback and the tight end get all the accolades.
But anyone watching knows what happened last year.
That's the nature of the beast.
I know. I get it.
That's
Anthony, we appreciate it. I'm just saying this, guys. Last year, the bottom 10 defenses in the NFL, only one team won a playoff game. Detroit won a playoff game. They won two. What a bottom 10 defense in terms of points per game allowed. The top 10 defenses, Baltimore won a playoff game. Kansas City won the Super Bowl. Buffalo won a playoff game. San Francisco won a playoff game. Tampa Bay won a playoff game. Pittsburgh and Dallas made the playoffs. This idea that defense doesn't matter, I don't understand where this is coming from. Yeah, it does. You want to win the championship, you need a defense. 215-592-9494. When we come back, what are the odds saying today about the Eagles most likely pick in the first round? And I'll give you a trade for a player in the draft they should actually do. Enough of this wide receiver, pass catcher stuff. This is nonsense. A player they should actually trade up for. We'll hit that next. Your phone calls. Would you be upset if the Eagles drafted a receiver in the first round? Traded up for a receiver? I would. Hugh and Kyle, they would not. They're actually embracing this. 215-592-949 for Midday Show. Sports Radio 94 WIP.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Welcome back. It's the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio. You guys with us. 215-592-9494. As I try to fend off the crazies today, who apparently want the Eagles to draft a wide receiver, a pass catcher.
Man, this is a passing league now, man.
Oh, my goodness.
This is a passing league.
Then why did we give $36 million to a running back?
Because we're going to throw the ball to him in the passing game. He's going to tote the rock, but he's going to be a factor in the pass. Like, Joe, he's going to be a factor in the passing game.
I just have a question. Sometimes I miss things, and you guys help me out. Did I miss the rule change in the NFL this year where they play with two footballs? Or are we still going to play with one?
No, they still play with one.
Okay.
But I tell you what, this is what's going to happen this year is what I thought was going to happen last year. You better make those receptions you get meaningful. You better get yak. Better be a part of your vocabulary. And I'm not talking about cognac. I'm talking about yards after the catch. You better when you catch that rock, you better do something with it.
Well, here's what they should do. Do something with it. They can all watch the defense play some damn good defense around here, and then they get the ball back on a short field and score like they did in 2022. I would be upset if take a receiver round one, a pass catcher. Hugh and Kyle want them to do it. All right, maybe we can actually throw in some ideas that would make sense. Like, you know, the Eagles trading up for a defensive player, maybe a star corner to put on the other side of Slay and get Bradbury the heck out of here. Daniel Jeremiah, an idea about a possible trade-up for a corner. This would make some sense.
All right, I'm going to say that the Philadelphia Eagles, they're picking 22. I'm going to say it's a very small move up. Maybe it's to get ahead of the Jags. Jags are picking 17. I'm going to say the Philadelphia Eagles, as we sit and discuss today, they end up getting up to pick number 16, and they make that swap, and they get ahead of the Jacksonville Jaguars, and they take Terrion Arnold, corner from Alabama.
See, now we got some reality sprinkled in here. How about Terrion Arnold from Alabama? Also, Tony Pauline, who's been on a lot of Eagles things over the years, and obviously is plugged in somewhere with someone that works around here. He's the one that said Cam Jurgens to the Eagles a couple years ago when he was spot on. He wrote yesterday that the Broncos and Eagles have talked about an idea of a trade where the Eagles move up to 12 from 22 and draft Quinyon Mitchell, the corner out of Toledo. See, now at least there's something out there that I could at least wrap my mind around.
Wrap your mind around. But still, like, even if we get, say, for instance, Joe, we placate you, we get a corner.
Placate me?
Yeah.
This defense still, couldn't still, stop that Mac defense Jones. Still,
pacify
defense,
you.
That defense still ain't going to be that great because we still don't have, like, we don't know what the pass rush is going to be. We need to put more of our emphasis on the offensive side of the ball.
They've put all of it on offense.
I can't believe I'm riding so hard for the offense.
It's unbelievable.
But it's the truth.
You have lost your identity.
I've lost my way.
You have. We got Hassan Reddick, don't need him. Corners don't need him.
I'm trying to tell you what I see. I've been reading my favorite quote. I've been reading the tea leaves. I've been reading the tea leaves. And this is what the tea leaves are telling me, Joe. This is what they're telling me.
You know what the tea leaves told me?
What did they tell you?
The tea leaves told me they couldn't stop Mac Jones and Sam Howell from torching
them. But
they
did.
No, they didn't. They got torched.
Well, I mean, they won the game.
They won the game, but Mac Jones got traded for a sixth round. Like, do you guys realize two quarterbacks, Sam Howell and Mac Jones, got traded for peanuts this offseason? They threw for like 1,000 yards in three games on the Eagles.
It's called a good game player. They had a good game player, but the outcome was the same. They didn't win the game, and that's the only thing that matters.
Can I answer a question you just asked like a couple minutes ago, Joe?
Yes.
Saquon Barkley is a good enough running back to where defenses have to worry about him and get in the box, load that up, and you know what that means? That means fewer guys out there covering A.J. Brown, DeVonta Smith, Goddard, our new wide receiver three that we're about to get in the first round.
Do not speak this into existence.
Well, Joe, and the other thing is that it does is when your offense is on the field, you know what's not on the field? Your defense.
Well, that part, sure. Okay.
Yeah.
That's your best defense right there
offense,
is not being
baby.
On the field.
Yeah, because the defense isn't going to be great next year. It's just not. We have to get over that.
I've been told that Vic Fangio is a magician.
Well,
I'm telling you.
I don't believe that.
No, I don't. If they go receiver in the first round, I am presenting Vic Fangio a magician's hat at training camp. We're bringing it to training camp because they are.
You can give me your magic wand?
Yeah, I'll give him the magic wand. Because Trey Turner's hitting 330, so I can't use it for him anymore. I'll give Vic Fangio the magic wand and say, you got to turn this into something decent.
And that's what he's going to do.
Yeah, because he's a magician.
No, because he's a good coach, and this is something that we haven't had here in a while. A good coach. And that's why I believe in him.
We had a good coach. His name was Jonathan Gannon. They got to the
enough.
Super Bowl. They got. Wait a second. He was a good defensive coach.
No, he was a good defensive coach.
And they got to the Super Bowl.
And then all of a sudden, they took, I guess, for lack of a better way of saying it, they took stupid pills, and they just didn't do well.
Well, I don't think it was stupid. Well, there were some stupid pills, maybe. But I think the issue was they lost Javon Hargrave. They lost some pieces. They lost their two starting linebackers. They lost their starting safety. And I look at this offseason, I'm like, all right, well, they got Chauncey back, but they lost Hassan Reddick. They lost Fletcher Cox. We still have James Bradbury here. Doesn't anyone else lose sleep at night, the fact that he's still the starting corner of the depth chart?
You lose sleep because think he's going to be out there playing. I don't.
Well, it's because you believe in the Thundercats.
I believe in the young Thundercats. Don't get it twisted. Well, okay. I believe in the young Thundercats.
You know what I believe in? I want to be with you. I want to believe in a Thundercat with pedigree.
Come with me.
No, I want one with pedigree, not a fourth-round pick.
No,
I want Keenan Mitchell.
Take his hand, Joe.
No.
take. What'd you say? Take my hand. Come with me.
I'm not heading down this path of corners with no pedigree. You guys are nuts.
Wait a minute, what's that? That's the Willy Wonka song, ain't it? Take my hand, come with me. With
this the world of
yeah. imagination.
Was yesterday Young Frankenstein, or was that 2 days ago? Now we're on Willy Wonka.
But no, I believe that if they're coached up the right way, that these young guys can play. I really believe that.
The Willy Wonka.
We got to take a chance, man. You got to take a chance.
The Willy Wonka reference is perfect. You know why? Because more offense is like eating candy. I'm trying to get sustenance here, and you guys are just loaded up on sugar. Let's go to Jeff in Wilmington. What's up, Jeff?
What's up, guys?
Hey, how you
What's
doing?
What's up, man?
Joe, you know why Quez Watkins was only targeted 21 times? It's because he stinks.
He couldn't get open.
He's a scarecrow out there. Yes, give me another receiver. Because I don't think AJ is going to be here much more than a year, if that. And I can't. I'm just going to have so much fun watching AJ's head explode and see how he trolls everyone if they do draft a wide receiver at number one.
Well, that's he would. Fun. Yeah, I'm sure there'd be some sort of Instagram or Twitter response to that pretty quickly. Yeah.
And I kind of agree with what you guys were talking about earlier, what Kyle was talking about, and Hugh. Keep the defense off the field. With your offense, just keep the Saquon grinding them out, catching some balls. Just keep going up and down the field. We won't have to worry about the defense as much.
Well, if they score as much as Hugh thinks, yeah. I mean, certainly there's a path there. But, you know, man, we'd be asking the offense to be special. Not like good wouldn't be good enough.
Yeah.
If they draft a receiver round one, we would be expecting like literally 30 points a game.
Yep. And real quick on the Sixers, I have zero faith in them. Zero. I meant to say that yesterday when that was brought up, but I don't think they get past this round at all.
Yeah. I mean, Jeff, I don't either right now. I hope I feel different after tomorrow night, and maybe they get – I mean, I think they should win game three back at home and get the series to a reasonable amount. But, I mean, with what happened in game two, I mean, we're basically asked them to win 5 out of 7 games because I think we all think they had game two won, and they just didn't get it in the column, right? It's a loss, but they really beat them and won that game. So it's a lot to ask. But tomorrow night is obviously everything on the line. Can't go down 0-3. 215-592-9494. Let's go to Tom, who's up next. What's up, Tom?
Hello?
Hey, Tom. What's up, pal?
Hey, I want to take you off speak.
Tom, you know, I'm just trying here to talk some sense into everybody because this is nonsense.
I agree with you 100%. I just want to throw some stats out to you, all right? Mm-hmm. All right, Mac Jones, week one, 316 yards, 3 touchdowns, 1 interception, all right? Sam Howell, 397 yards, 4 touchdowns, 1 interception. Drew Locke, 208 yards, 1 touchdown, 0 interceptions. Baker Mayfield, 337 yards, 3 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. You guys see what I'm saying here?
No, all we don't. What are you saying?
I see it. Yeah, I see it.
All them quarterbacks are either nobodies now or used to be nobodies. Baker Mayfield was nobody last year. Well, do you guys not agree?
What are you saying?
They got torched by journeyman quarterbacks, is what he's saying.
But the first quarterback you mentioned, I think, was Mac Jones. They beat him, right?
Yeah, but they got lucky. Yeah,
they beat him, though, right?
No, but that's not what I'm getting at. What I'm getting at is the offense is winning the games, but the defense is basically losing.
Listen,
all them games were close games, but the defense was letting them come close.
Tom.
Mac Jones, I'm a Patriots fan.
I hear you. I look at the board. I can see it. But, Tom, the bottom line is this. Offense, right, your $200 million quarterback, well, I'm not saying yours, but I'm talking about ours. That's what he's paid for. That's what these offensive players are paid for. You know the year that we went, like, and you, I'm talking to Joe right here, Tom, but you can chime in if you want to. The year that we played the Rams in the 2001 NFC Championship game, you know who had the better defense on the field?
You did.
And we still lost. That's my point. That is my point because we didn't have enough personnel to stop Marshall Faulk in the second half.
But to be fair on that, but your offense didn't have close to what this offense has, right? Like your offense in 01, it was Donovan.
But if we did.
Well, but
if Donovan had A.J. Brown.
And Devontae Smith,
Brock Bowers.
That would have been enough.
And Saquon Barkley.
He wouldn't need the Brock Bowers.
It wouldn't have been a close game.
Yeah, okay. But this team has a lot of offense already. See, he tried to pull that
my
over.
My fault, Tom. I just had to throw that in there.
Yeah, you got it.
What you got, Tom?
I want to add something with that, too. A couple years ago with the Patriots and the Rams, the Rams are the number one offense in the league, but they only scored 3 points on the Patriots' number one defense.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they totally shut them down.
They didn't have enough personnel.
No, they had plenty of personnel.
All the people the Patriots had with Julius Edelman that year.
Yeah, this obsession.
I agree with you 100%.
There's a fantasy football obsession. Tom, we appreciate it. I understand these receivers coming in every year are awesome. Like, there's a lot of good players, whether it be Neighbors or Harrison Jr., who we talked about last week in the context of the AJ stuff.
Good call, Tom.
I understand that there's great receivers coming in every year. We already got two of them.
Yeah, we could need one more wouldn't hurt.
it wouldn't hurt. Sure, like in general, like
a cornucopia.
Cornucopia is a good word. It's not good to be a glutton. You got to even things out around here.
You have to, like, the bottom line is this: if I told you today, if I had a crystal ball and I said, "Listen, Joe, if we draft Brock Bowers with that 22nd pick, mm-hmm. we win in 2 Super Bowls. We're going to 3." We win in 2.
Of course I'd say yes.
So that's what that's what I'm trying to tell you.
Well, I'm here to tell you, with this defense, they're not coming close to
Super Bowl. That's what I'm trying to tell you.
But
I'm telling you, with this offense, with the amount of time, like now, see, when I envision this offense with Saquon Barkley, Brock Bowers, Dallas Goedert, and all these weapons, you know what I envision? At least time of possession, there shouldn't be a game that we play in that time of possession is against us. We should at least have the if it's a 60-minute game, we should have the ball at least 30 to 40 minutes of that game. Easily.
So when the other team –
we can slow the game. Yeah. I look at us, Joe. And I envision this offense being able to slow the game down or speed it up as they want to. We're the Indiana Pacers of the NFL. We got the fastest pace offense we can have, or we can slow the pace down. It all depends on how you want to play. Pick your poison. Pick how you want to get beat, because we're winning this game.
I mean, you're painting a good picture. But I don't know if I want to be the Indiana Pacers.
Well,
of
I'm just talking about the pacing. Not the record, the pace.
Okay, I want you guys to apologize to me next year. If everything goes the way you guys want, okay? When the game starts and the Eagles defer, right? They always defer. And N'Kobe Dean.
Oh, we ain't deferring no more.
Oh, no. They'll defer. They always defer. They would defer. And the other team goes on a 10-minute drive as Jalen Hurts and the first-round receiver and A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith stand there and watch, because we can't cover and we can't tackle.
They better score first. And if you score, that's going to be the only time that you score.
Only time?
Yeah, because after that, we locking you down. I have that much faith in Vic Fangio. I really do. Can you tell I'm getting excited about
it? Yeah, I can. Can you? I'm excited, too. I'm excited for this not to happen. Is Vic Fangio going to be able to make Bradbury run again?
No, but he's going to put him in position, if he's out there, which I don't think that he will be, but he'll put him in position to be successful. I think that's what Vic Fangio is going to do. He's going to look at all of these guys. He's going to know their limitations. And he's not going to put them in that position.
What happened to this city? So Buddy Ryan somewhere is listening, and he's just hurt.
Nothing happened to the city, Joe. They've just always been smart. They've just always been smart about where the NFL's going, the trends.
That's not the trend. Defense was
– No.
The three of the four teams in the title game last year, their defense was top five.
This is a myth. This is a myth. That defense is carrying these teams. The Chiefs won that game against the Baltimore Ravens because the Ravens couldn't score on offense. Their offense wasn't good enough, right?
But the Ravens' their offense didn't score because the Chiefs' defense held them down.
No, the Ravens' offense was also screwing up, and Lamar Jackson folds in big moments in playoff games.
They didn't have personnel.
Here's the other thing, because we keep doing this. This is a fallacy in logic, that we keep looking at the Chiefs and all, like, their defense carried them to the championship. I will make this declaration right now. The gap in the Eagles' defense this year is bigger. The gap between the Chiefs' defense last year and the Eagles' defense this year is bigger than what the gap with the Eagles' offense can be to having Patrick Mahomes, like the equivalent of that.
I agree with that.
So let's close that gap, baby.
Because
the defense ain't going
to
do it.
No, I think the defense has to be at a certain level to win. And this defense they've assembled right now, and look, maybe, I'll give you guys a maybe. Maybe they think more of their young defenders than I do, and they think they're all ready to pop, and then they think that side of the ball is better than I do. And maybe I'm wrong on that. But based on what I've seen so far, we looked at the depth chart. I got four guys. I feel like they're really good players. That's not enough.
I think there's something big that we're ignoring about what this defense was missing last year that can be fixed, even with the same personnel. Turning the ball over. The Eagles get more turnovers than they did last year, which I think is a big likelihood. They didn't get too many turnovers.
No, they were bottom five in interceptions.
So there will be regression to the mean in that regard. I think the Eagles are going to get more turnovers next year, which is going to be a huge step up for the defense.
Well, we need scorers.
No matter who the personnel is.
We need scorers.
Why did we pay this quarterback to just surround him with all these weapons?
We paid him because we feel like he's the heir apparent. And to Tom's point, Tom made a great point.
Go get Brock Purdy if you want a game manager that could just throw the weapons.
No.
Yeah.
We feel like we got a guy that's going to get us over the hump. That's why we gave him the money. That's why the hardest position to play and the one position you need to have be successful in the NFL nowadays has been proven by the kind of money that they make is the quarterback spot. The quarterback spot. You when I think about the Buffalo Bills. They missed their window, by the way, if you ask me.
I think they did too.
They missed their window.
I think it's over for now.
Like, and but they did it in a way where they went out and they drafted some young little stalwarts on defense to get the job done, but they felt like they had enough on offense to get them over the hump. And a couple years ago, they did. They were right there. They didn't get over the hump. Now they're going for a hard reset. They're going to be in for some tough times, man. They're going to be in for some tough times. Howie's ahead of the curve on this one. Howie's ahead of the curve because what he's done is he's gone out and he's going to get Jalen Hurts all the weapons that he can get him. And Jalen Hurts has a maybe 2 to 3 year window to take full advantage of all these weapons that he has, this dearth, this cornucopia, this glutton offensive weapons that he has. And he's gonna get us to the promised land. We might be going to New Orleans this year, Joe.
Yeah, maybe if they get a defense. So here's what I look at, and then right back to the phones. 215-592-9494. I look at the last two times they played the 49ers and the difference of the two games, right? One was the NFC Championship game two seasons ago, and one was the debacle last December. 2 years ago, the Eagles came into that game with a top defense, a top pass rush, and they destroyed the Niners despite not having a great offensive day. They ran it well. Jalen didn't throw it well at all. He threw for like 100-something yards, and they blew the doors off the Niners. Last year, they came into the game with a far, far worse defense, far worse pass rush, and they got killed. They got destroyed.
Now, wait a minute.
If Shanahan goes against this defense, he's going to laugh at the Eagles.
Wait a minute. Now, I think you misremembered just a little bit.
What did I misremember?
That defense played well up to a certain point in that game.
They played well for two
and
possessions.
And then the offense started to sputter. Whoa, whoa, whoa. The offense started leaking oil.
The offense went to the red zone both twice in the opening and then only scored 6 points.
I got it.
Cash those in for touchdowns. We're up 14-0.
Yeah,
it's a different game, man.
You guys
are living in la-la.
No. What are you talking about?
49ers didn't punt for three quarters. They scored every time.
Because you put the defense in a bad spot because you were going
They would have to throw more. We'd be up 14 points. That's a different game.
I think they could have played the game for 5 hours and not stop the Niners again. I mean, like, that they could have kept playing
that
game.
But we might not have gotten, like, absolutely boat raced.
All right, okay.
Okay, but then we're talking about the gap from there to now.
That defense started out pretty good.
It did the
wheels.
Then
the wheels fell off the wagon.
No, wheels fell off. The engine was left on 95. Yeah, people were swerving around on the way home. Matt in Westchester. What's up, Matt?
That's a better analogy.
What's up?
Hey, guys, how we doing?
What's going on, man?
What are you thinking, Matt?
Before I get to my first-round pick, can I preface something?
Sure.
So long as we have Jeff Stoutland, I think we could pick someone off the street in Philadelphia, and he could be an O-line, almost all-pro second team.
I'll take almost.
Well, the Mailata, you know, the development and ascension of Mailata, Matt, does make you feel that way. It does. Mm.
But I'm pro Bowers first round pick because I think we ignore the fact that like of the new rule change that hip tackle.
Man, it's interesting. I mean, I was obviously kidding a few minutes ago about adding a second football out there, but the hip drop tackle does change things, and it could make the tight end in general, all of these guys, just you know, more valuable because it throws over the middle.
Tight
it's hard to take
a
those guys down.
Huge factor in the last few Super Bowls.
Yeah.
What do we say about tight ends? They can't be tackled by corners single, and they're hard to cover by linebackers. So, and we also, with the addition of Saquad, I mean, we're kind of playing into that role.
Well, they would be, right? They're adding just, like, physical, you know, freaks in a sense, right? Guys that are just, you get the ball to them in space, and they just not. Look, Bowers as a player, independent of the Eagles conversation and their needs, I think he's awesome. Like, he reminds me of George Kittle. He's probably going to be an all-pro kind of player in the NFL. So, like, obviously it would be cool to have him here. But don't you worry about the defense?
I feel like defense is something that we get through trades or we get through free agent acquisitions. We have never been historically, aside from defensive line, especially cornerback, we have not pushed out decent cornerbacks from the draft.
Well, you're right. I mean, other than Avante, who you know obviously was a mid-round pick and became a good player. You're right about that, Matt. And Matt's a good phone call. I mean, they traded for Slay. They signed Bradbury. They signed Bryce Huff. They obviously signed Reddick a couple years ago before trading him away. Yeah, I think that's a fair point. Now, maybe Howie has something else extra up his sleeve where he could draft a offensive player early and trade for a defensive player. Maybe. I'm just looking at the big picture as they have the depth chart right now and the team right now. And it just feels, I just think Daniel Jeremiah the perfect word. It's gluttonous. We don't want to be gluttons, Hugh. We want to be winners.
Yes, we do. Why not?
I want to win.
Like, listen, would you consider the Kansas City Chiefs gluttons?
Well,
yes.
No.
Yes.
No, they traded away Tyreek Hill.
No,
they moved off of offense.
They've been gluttony when they win the Super Bowls. They went back-to-back. That's being gluttonous. Yeah, let somebody else win it.
No. That's different.
I want to be that kind of glutton,
Well, I
Joe.
Do, too.
I want that.
But
and
how
if
did
this
they
tight end gets me that, that's what I want.
Chiefs did it by moving off one of the best receivers ever.
And you know what?
Moved
they
off
have
him.
They have Patrick Mahomes, and he grew into that. We don't know if we got Patrick Mahomes yet. We don't know what Jalen Hurts is going to be.
We don't have that.
So I want to put him, even though our quarterback did go toe-to-toe with him in the Super Bowl, so I want to give him another weapon. I want to give him a tight end.
Doesn't he have
that's going to have an outlet. No.
What do you mean no?
He doesn't. You can never have too many weapons. Talk to that to them them NRA people when they got all the weapons and stuff. You can never have enough
I'm telling you right now. I'm telling you right now. They paid this guy a lot of money to make it work, and he's got enough to make it work.
He got enough. One more player.
We're setting up the excuses already.
One more player is not going to hurt.
You know what else might help him? You know, the defense getting a three and out every once, a short field every once in a while.
It don't work like that.
Yeah, it does work like that. It does.
Listen, I love him to death, and I admire what he's brought to the table these 13 years that he's been playing. We got BG rushing the passer, though, dog. BG been rushing the passer a long time.
I know. It's a farewell tour now.
And you know, I'm not trying to let BG get BG another Super Bowl ring, man. Let him just chill out, be on the sideline. You think BG would have a problem with a tight end if they were scoring a lot of points during the game?
I don't think he's going to have a problem with anything. BG's going to be fine at this point.
BG got a problem with tight end.
He's a team guy. 215-592-9494. Hit your phone calls coming up in the next segment. Plus, Mark Ross is going to join us, former executive in the NFL, used to be here as a scout with the Philadelphia Eagles, NFL Network. Now, what does Mark Ross see with this draft? What would he think if the Eagles go after another weapon? His assessment of the corners out there for the Eagles to choose from. 215-592-9494. We'll catch up with Mark Ross, all your phone calls as well, on the Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP. And let's talk to my friends over at FanDuel. Of course, you know here, the road to the NBA Finals starts now. And new customers on FanDuel in partnership with Valley Forge Casino can go on their own playoff run with $150. Place any $5 bet and you'll get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose, to use during the NBA playoffs. How about tomorrow night? Three-pointers made, Maxi over, total points and Embiid under. First basket scorer, let's go with Kyle Lowry and more. FanDuel.com/GIGLIO to get started. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 94WIP. FanDuel. Official sports betting partner of the NBA.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.